If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 560. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about whales, silver mines, and tacos, beaches, and the Hotel California as we go to southern Baja, Baja Sur, in Mexico. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This show has been a little bit in the making in the sense that we're now talking about a trip that I did in February. So in addition to talking about our guests' experiences in Baja, I finally get a chance to tell you about a rather extraordinary trip that I took to the same region. Give it a listen. I'd like to welcome to the show Stuart Gustafson from stuartgustafson.com, who's come to talk to us about Baja California. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris.
And I say Baja, we're really talking about Baja Sur, probably more accurately the southern half of the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. Why are we talking about that? Why should somebody think about Baja when they're thinking about where to go on vacation?
Especially for people on the west coast of the U.S., it's really easy to get there. Mm-hmm. A lot of straight flights. In fact, even from the east coast, there are nonstop flights from New York or Newark, some of those places. And it's just beautiful weather down there. And just one of the many reasons I love to go down is the weather.
Sure, sure. No, it definitely is. One of the things I enjoyed, and now I've just been down there for the first time to Baja Sur. I've been to Baja North, the northern end of Baja, I think 15, 18 times, something like that. But as you're flying down the peninsula, it is striking, as we were talking about offline here, the landscape of Baja, especially the eastern edge of it, the deep blue waters and the very stark, arid, empty landscape. I was intrigued even just before we got off the plane about the Baja Peninsula.
Well, it is amazing. When you do fly down, especially from California or mm-hmm. Arizona or someplace like that, you initially are hit with this, oh, all I see is dirt and desert. And,
that would be another way of describing it, I suppose, yes.
But that's all you see for a while. Then you get down south, and your clarification of Baja California Sur is correct. It used to be just Baja, mm-hmm. but then it got divided into two states a couple of years ago. Well, about 40 years ago. But you're right, you get down near the tip and you've got the Sierra Laguna mountains coming down and a lot of rainfall that collects up there and drains down, and you see the riverbeds, and it really is a beautiful place.
And what do you recommend for people for an itinerary for southern Baja?
Well, it depends on how adventurous they want to be. They could just stay down in the Cabo area, or maybe Los Cabos.
Mm-hmm.
There are two Cabos. Cabo San Lucas is the more popular, the more well-known. And then there's San Jose del Cabo, which is the older town. Mm-hmm. To me, much prettier. But for a couple of hours, you can drive up to La Paz, depending on whether you want to go clockwise or counterclockwise. If you go out of Cabo up to La Paz and then to Todos Santos and back down, that makes a very nice one-day trip, even going counterclockwise.
Okay. What would you recommend? Let's start down on the tip here in Cabo or in San Jose del Cabo. I was one of those people who took a flight from San Jose to San Jose, which confused some people. What would... Because we could have flown on to Costa Rica and gone Saturday to San Jose,
right,
to San Jose.
But
what would you recommend people do?
If you get down there for midweek, Thursday night, for example, is the internationally famous San Jose Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so up in San Jose del Cabo, starting around the main square where the old church is, it's about a 4-square block area of the art galleries open up. And it's just a very casual time to walk around, visit galleries, mingle with people, have a glass of wine as you walk around. Many of the galleries just provide wine for you. And so that's really fun. And it's a great way to see some of the culture, some of the artwork of the area, and meet people without big pressure on you, as it can be if you walk into an art gallery and you're the only person there. It's all of a sudden, they can swarm on you. So Thursday is something that's always fun to do, something I like to do when I'm down there, is go up, even though I've been there many, many times and I'm mm-hmm. friends with many of the owners there. So that's a fun thing. From San Jose down to Cabo San Lucas, the area known as the Corridor, there are a lot of beaches, a lot of resorts there. If you're only there for a little while, I would continue past those and just get down into Cabo proper, Cabo San Lucas. Now, it depends on your lifestyle. If you want to go for the wild stuff, you've got Cabo Wabo Cantina.
And when you say wild stuff here, we're not talking about wildlife viewing as we sometimes talk about in the show.
Yeah, that's true. It's, no,
you're talking about the party scene here. Yeah,
that's the party scene.
Yeah.
It's Cabo Wabo, Giggling Marlin. There's those plenty of places you can go to that even in the daytime, they're loud, no mm-hmm. question. But strolling along the marina, they're...
And I'm going to guess if I go to the... margarita place whose name escapes me there that you just mentioned, Cabo Wabo, that I'm probably going to see another American or two.
You're going to see a lot of Americans. And that's one thing about Cabo. You will see a lot of Americans, a lot of Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
It is an easy destination for many of them. There's, in fact, nonstop flights from Canada down to there. So you will find a lot of Americans and Canadians and some Europeans. The locals, which you might call the, you know, the Mexican nationals, probably from Mexico City, from Guadalajara, places like that, they're not going to be going to the party places. They might be staying at the resorts,
mm-hmm.
just enjoying the peace and quiet of the beautiful water that's there. But while you're in Cabo San Lucas, going along the marina is really nice because there are many, many restaurants and bars that you can just sit and look at the water, look at the boats come in, the fishing boats, or mm-hmm. even some of the large private yachts that come into the area. One of the things that we like is we have a few favorite restaurants that we go to when we're down there, whether it's just my wife and I on just a personal little trip down there, or when I lead a small tour down there. We have a couple of restaurants that I know always deliver, you know, a good value, great tasting food. And so that's great down there.
And you're going to leave us in the dark here what they are, or would you like to share?
No, happy to share. One of them is called Maro's Shrimp House, M-A-R-O, Mashvia mm-hmm. Shrimp House. It's on Avenida Hidalgo, just 2 blocks off the marina. And it's a bright yellow building where I think every year they paint the walls because then everybody writes on them where they're from. And you'll find flags from all kinds of schools and professional teams in there. The best value for lobster in town. The prices have not changed in years. It's about $17 for a half kilo of lobster plus some shrimp, vegetables, and things like that. Great place to go. It is packed. You'll be amazed when we go down there with people and we walk by, Maro's is packed. You look at the other restaurants and some of them hardly have anybody in them.
Hmm.
So Maro's has that reputation. Another one that's fun to go to It's called The Office. I mean, you can always say, hey, yeah, I worked all day. I spent the day at The Office. Well, The Office happens to be a restaurant that's on the beach, Medano Beach, the swimmable beach in Cabo, kind of in the harbor, kind of facing Sea of Cortez. The tables are in the sand, blue umbrellas to block the sunshine from coming in, but good food. Locals go there too, so it's not just the tourist place to go. But good food, good drinks, you're on the water. It's just to dip your toes in the sand. Be careful if you're at the front table because your feet might get wet when the waves come up. It's literally on the beach. But so you can just say, yep, I had to spend the day at The Office. You'll have a good time. So those two places we always like to go.
One that I would add that's over by the hotel zone, basically in Cabo San Jose, that we enjoyed probably of the most of the ones that we went to was a little tiny one, a Cynthia Fresh restaurant and organic market.
Right by the cutoff to the hotel zone, or mm-hmm. continue straight up into town, Cynthia Fresh. She's been in that location for a little while. She had moved from another location, but that is a good place, nice organic food in there. And actually, if you continue, while you're there in San Jose, if you continue down hotel zone, there are some really top restaurants. There's the, Rock and Brews.
I went there. We enjoyed it.
You know, so it's great. You know, you can go and make sure you get a burger and a beer or something
yeah,
like
that. Exactly.
But you can also get fine food at many of the other restaurants.
What other things should we see while we're down here in the Cabos area?
You definitely want to spend some time along the Pacific side.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's kind of hard to do because we've got all these resorts. Well, the one thing that I imagine your listeners have heard before is that all the beaches in Mexico are public property.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot restrict people from coming. They can make it difficult to get through, but you have to allow access to the beach. So you go to the resorts, the Playa Grande Resort, the Sol Mar Resort, which are at the very, very tip of Baja on the Pacific side.
Mm-hmm.
And just walk through. And if they ask anything, just say, I'm going to the beach. They have to allow you to do that. So you just have to see the Pacific side. And depending on the weather, or depending on the time of year, actually, the waves can be pretty high. And so the Pacific side is really not a safe swimming side. Mm-hmm. But it's just fun to see the waves come in. And then in February and March, to see the whales. That is an excellent time to be down there, watching the whales as they begin their migration back north.
Okay. And when you say see the whales, you're talking about whale watching at this point?
Yes.
Because we'll get into more whale activities as we get further north and later. Okay. And so when you say the Pacific side, are you all the way over at Todos Santos, or are you still down at the point?
Yeah, we're still down at the point.
Okay.
Two of the places we stay are the Playa Grande and the Sol Mar resorts. And we'll just have the binoculars and we just watch the whales out there. You can always tell where the whales are because you'll see the boats.
Right.
Plenty of whale watching boats that go out, and most of them stay a decent distance. They respect the whales.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. But with those boats, you can get out fairly close and see them. You see them up close and personal, and they are magnificent animals.
Okay. And then you recommended going a little further north. You want to hit La Paz next?
Yeah, driving up to La Paz, as you're going from Cabo, and you go up past the airport, and then you're going to wind through some mountains and then drop down into the plains area of La Paz. And mm-hmm. the interesting thing about La Paz is it's the capital of the state of Baja California Sur.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really more quiet. It doesn't have the activity. There are a lot of fishing activities and boating activities. The water, as you know, up there is just absolutely beautiful. Jacques Cousteau has called it, I forget his exact term, but basically
he called it the aquarium of the world.
There you go, the aquarium of the world.
Well, and we should say one of the reasons for that is you'll notice this as you're flying in. We talked about the stark blue water. The Sea of Cortez is surprisingly deep and relatively cold water. And so it is very nutritious, has lots of nutrients in it. And so it does attract quite a lot of sea life. And so that's why it's been called also the Galapagos of the North. But yeah, his particular term was the aquarium of the world for all of the richness of the aquatic life there in the Sea of Cortez.
The things that you can do there, I mean, you can swim with the animals in there, the whale sharks, and it's just fantastic.
And you're underselling the whale sharks there a bit. Describe, when you talk about swimming with the whale sharks, describe this experience.
The experience is the most personal experience I think you can have in the water, because you can just go right with them. You can just pet them.
How big is a whale shark?
Oh, big. I don't have an exact dimension.
Well, it's the world's largest fish.
Yeah.
So smaller than the biggest whales, but what is it, 20 feet long, something like that?
I don't have an exact size here, but
although their throat is a little tiny thing, because they eat krill. They're basically not meat eating sharks, so don't let the world shark fool you in terms of swimming with them. Yeah, I have not had a chance to do this yet. We happen to be in, well, I'll tell you a little more later about a cruise that we did up out of La Paz. But we did not include in this one swimming with the whale sharks, but it is something I'd like to do. And everybody who I have talked to who has done it has said, as you did, you know, it's basically an amazing experience.
Yeah, and the thing about them too, you mentioned the cold water of the Sea of Cortez. The whale sharks don't like the cold water.
Mm-hmm.
They like the warmer water in the low 70s. It means that they're going to be more surface and closer to the shore than farther out and deeper. I just looked up quickly. They have found whale sharks as long as 40 feet and 47,000 pounds. So that's big.
Yeah, that's big.
That's big. But they are so gentle, and the name actually comes from the size of the fish.
Right.
It's not actually a shark. It's not actually a whale. So just a filter feeder, as you said, you know, eating the baleen and everything as they just suck it through.
Well, and if I do this from La Paz, as I understand it, too, I'm going to be going out in a ponga, so a smaller rowboat style, maybe with a canopy to protect me from the sun, but I'm going to do a day trip from there, go out for maybe an hour and find some whale sharks and get in the water with them, doing one of those sort of relatively small boat experiences.
Those are better experiences to have rather than going out with, you know, 50 of your closest friends. If you can go out with one or two, or sometimes if you just even go out with captain of the boat, it's his boat. He's still the captain, but that'll be an exciting experience. Some underwater cameras would be fantastic with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anything else you would recommend we do see or eat in La Paz?
Well, seafood is going to be what you're going to eat. And I don't have any particular restaurants up there, any of them along the Malecón. The boardwalk area along there would be great. Some of them have an upstairs terrace, so you'd have a nice view. The one thing that you don't get there that a lot of people think about when they think about Mexico is if you're on that side of La Paz or that side of Baja in La Paz, you don't see the sunset.
Sure.
You don't have a sunset view, but you still have a beautiful water view as you look out. If you are into a little bit more sports, a little bit more activities with the winds that can come up, there's a lot of great windsurfing, the sailboats you can take out there, either on your own or just go for a ride in a sailboat out there. So that really is exciting. If you find a calmer area, get a kayak. A lot of the hotels along the beach just have little kayaks there and you just take it out. We stayed up there and you don't even sign it out. You just, it's on the beach, you grab it and you row out and just enjoy being out on the water.
Well, and we did, as I alluded to earlier, a longer cruise out of La Paz. We did a 7-day cruise out of La Paz on an uncruise. We've mentioned uncruise on this show before. I was sponsored to go on a cruise with them up to Alaska, and we liked it so much, we put down our own money to do this cruise down here in Baja, which we just did in February. And you can listen to the show that we did about uncruise in Alaska for more idea about the experience. This was the same ship. It comes down here in the wintertime down here to Baja. But you're basically doing a wildlife cruise, a 7-day wildlife cruise. And you mentioned swimming with other wildlife, and we mentioned the whales, but we also swam with sea lions. I think the group that was there before us found them a little more playful. It's wildlife, so you never know what you're going to get. We went on the experience that anybody can do without the cruise on the West Coast, up more by Adolfo Lopez Mateos, where you can get in another small boat, a panga, and go see the baby whales, the gray whales, and their calves. We did that where I'd say about, so we had about 8 pangas with all the people from the ship, because it's not a big ship. And I think 4 of them actually got to touch a baby whale and her mother, because, you know, it's up to the whale to decide that.
Yeah.
The whales have to decide that they want to approach you. And there was one mother and baby that were friendly whales, which is what they call them, where they came right up to the ship and paused and let them, you know, reach over and touch the barnacle encrusted skin of a gray whale. You know, I had to be satisfied with getting 10 feet away, which, you know, isn't too bad either. So that was amazing experience. And just the one day that I would describe that was probably the most interesting. We were by, I think, Isla San Jose. There's a number of different islands off the coast on the inland side, on the Sea of Cortez size, Isla Espiritu Santo, Isla San Jose, and such. We were up in one of those areas. We were going to a specific area where they had reported a fair number of blue whales and other sightings the day before, but they changed the course. It's just one of those things where you never know quite where you're going to go during the day, because it depends on where the wind is blowing. It depends on what wildlife they've seen. And one of the spotters on the bridge saw this cluster of birds off in the distance, and that often can indicate something interesting is going on underneath, like a bait ball, where the dolphins, for instance, are herding the fish into a big ball of fish. And so they went, that looks interesting. And as we went over there, we saw 2 blue whales that swam alongside the ship for about half an hour, which they said was really unusual for them to spend that much time on the surface. You know, you can't see a whole lot of them. They're mostly under the water, but it was just amazing to see how this large, large whales, you know, just swimming there along the surface. And then I'd say about a half an hour later, we found ourselves in a super pod of, well, I guess this would still be a pod of 200 dolphins, just going crazy, swimming in the water, jumping out, kind of playing with the wake of the ship. And it was just amazing. You know, we followed them along for a while, or they followed us for a while. And then about an hour later, we found ourselves in a super pod of 2,000 dolphins going off to the horizon. So it was quite an amazing trip. I really highly recommend that trip. And it goes out of La Paz. They used to go out of San Jose del Cabo. And what they found is, as you get further up the inland side of Baja, the waters are much calmer. And so, for instance, some of the other ships will sail all the way over to the western side where those whales, baby whales and their moms are. But you're going to have a lot rougher seas if you're sailing out there in the Pacific. And so they just don't do that anymore. They sail from La Paz north up along these islands, looking for places to put in with their kayaks, do some hiking, and look for sea lions and whales and porpoises and all that kind of stuff. Highly, highly recommend it.
You raise a really good point. The water obviously is much calmer because it's a bay. Well, it's a bay. It's a gulf.
Yeah.
Because as you get around to the Pacific side, that water really gets rough, and especially as you go around the tip of Cabo, where the Sea of Cortez and the Pacific Ocean collide. I mean, the water is pretty choppy there, but you get up into the Sea of Cortez and then it really calms down. And a fantastic book to read if you're going to go there sometime, anybody's going to go and they want to do some research, is Steinbeck's book, The Log of the Sea of Cortez. It's about his journeys and the things that he saw and logged in while he was there.
Yeah, no, excellent suggestion. The other thing we didn't talk about, too, is the geography is, and I did not realize this until I went down. So the Pacific side is much more flat, and then the inland side, or the Sea of Cortez side, is almost always cliffs and mountains and such. So it tends to all kind of slope to the west. And so as you're on the Pacific side, it's the coastline is less spectacular. It's just more calm, slowly going into the ocean. And yet on the other side, it's quite a lot of mesas and mountains and cliffs and little islands that are broken off and such.
The thing about that is you drive either up to La Paz.
Yep.
Or, of course, you could be the adventurous person who drives all the way up to San Diego, but that's quite a drive. And I know you've covered that on the show, but the formations, the mountain areas you go through are really amazing. And there's some great things. There's waterfalls you can go visit, old silver mines.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It's not just a desert area.
Well, a lot of it is desert. When you say old silver mines, do you have one you would recommend?
Well, the area around Il Triunfo, it's just a little bit south of La Paz.
Okay.
And I think they were trying to get that one restarted, but the regulations aren't quite as strict there as they are in the U.S. in terms of silver mining. But that's one an area to go to is Il Triunfo. The silver mines, the old churches, a great little historic area. You can blink and miss it if you're not careful. But the problem of blinking and missing any of these little towns is they always have speed bumps as you enter the town. I know from experience.
Sure.
Don't come into a little town at full speed because you'll hit that bump.
Well, and you know, as you mentioned, we have done a show about taking the highway all the way down, although that was probably 10 years ago. And this part of Baja has changed amazingly, I would guess, in the last 10 years. Now, you've been coming down at least that long.
Yeah, in 2003 was our first year, and we've gone down every year since, sometimes up to three times a year.
And you want to describe what it was like in 2003 versus now?
2003, the area definitely was calmer. The interesting thing is that they said at that time, well, we have a limit on how many condo rooms we can have, you know, and so this is probably the end of it. Well, they're still building, and they're still building, and they're still building. So the corridor area between San Jose and Cabo, and then the area north along the Pacific side, you just see continuous growth. It is a greater impact on the locals, the local resources. There is now a Costco there. Of course, there's a Super Walmart. There is a Home Depot.
Right.
But we like the little shops, you know, that the locals go to, finding the fresh food. The thing that hasn't changed are the people are still friendly. The people are friendly and they're happy to see you. They know you're a tourist and it might be the only time you're ever there, but you're treated as a friend. I mean, it is just such a magnificent place to go. I love introducing people to Cabo and finding out, oh, this really is a pretty nice place.
Well, and it's interesting because you mentioned the friendliness. Now, I think you have also been here within the last 3-4 months down to Baja also, as I recall.
Yes.
I think that there are a number of people who are choosing not to go to Mexico right now because they think the relations between the U.S. and Mexico are probably so poor because of some of the things that may or may not have been said during the election or whatever. And yet, I really didn't find that when I was down there that even, well, it may have come up in conversation, but it wasn't really an issue. I would not let it keep you from going to Mexico.
No, nor do I allow the news that makes the headlines when there's a drug-related shooting somewhere in Mexico. It's like, oh, Mexico is not safe. Well, the problem is Mexico is actually safer than the United States. You know, if people saw how many murders there were in certain cities, I don't want to point any out. Most people will know where they are around the United States.
Well, I'll point them out. So it was particularly Tijuana and Ciudad Juarez, which are border cities where so much of the violence was in the big drug war. And violence was predominantly associated with people who were in the drug cartels, who were fighting each other. So I would not go down and join a drug cartel. I would absolutely recommend against that. let's just say they don't have to worry a lot about their retirement plans right now.
No, they don't. But then you look at some of the U.S. cities, you know, you pick Detroit or Chicago or Washington, D.C. They have a higher murder rates, but people aren't going to say, oh, I'm not going to go to Washington, D.C., you know, so.
Or they're certainly not going to say, I'm not going to go to the U.S. because of Detroit or because of Chicago, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You may choose where you go. Yeah, exactly.
Where you go. But I love to introduce people to Cabo. Now, Cabo's not the only nice place to go. There is no question about that. There are plenty of great places to go. It's just that we've really kind of adopted Cabo as our second home. And no, we're not going to retire down there. We'll still stay in the U.S., but know that we can go down there and just enjoy the food and relaxing. There are times we sit in our room, literally put the do not disturb sign and just watch the water. It's just that relaxing.
We should say what Cabo is and isn't. So, for instance, if you compare this to some place like, let's say, Oaxaca, another city that I love in Mexico, this is going to have less of the cultural depth. I mean, it is predominantly a new area with some bits of history. Is that fair?
That's very fair, and you're probably being generous to say that Cabo San Lucas has history. I mean, it's a fishing port. It was a fishing mm-hmm. port that was found by the Hollywood elite, let's call it that, yeah. and mm-hmm. that kind of grew. San Jose del Cabo also was a fishing port, but definitely older. So right. there is mm-hmm. some of the culture that is up in that area. But it's a destination to go to either eat, you know, go fishing. A lot of people go fishing. A lot of people go down there to play golf. But, you know, I don't. It's pretty expensive. But it has things for almost everybody. And if you go to some of the high-end resorts, it has anything that you want there because mm-hmm. they want to keep you on the grounds.
And then, as we've said, in terms of wildlife encounters, you know, there's some amazing places down here for that that I think compete with anywhere in the world. So, you know, the ability to go see the whales and the baby whales, swim with the whale sharks, you know, all that kind of stuff, I think that is something that you really have to stop and take notice of. How can this be a place that's so easy to get to? Right. If I wanted to go down to Galapagos, that's going to be much more expensive. It's going to be wonderful also, I'm sure. But this is amazing wildlife, very close and relatively inexpensive. Even with, you know, UnCruise, they do a Baja cruise and they also do Galapagos. The Galapagos, because that is a monopoly put in place by the government of Ecuador, it's three times as expensive, I think,
mm-hmm.
for the same company. So something to think about. Now, you also mentioned Todos Santos, and we haven't talked about that mm-hmm. stop yet.
Yeah, so Todos Santos, either a fun day trip from either Cabo or La Paz, or if you are short on time and you just want to make one big loop between Cabo, La Paz, and Todos mm-hmm. Santos. So Todos Santos is not much more than an hour north of Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
They've built a brand new four-lane road. And it's just really easy drive. Now, a little sidetrack here. 2012, the G20 conference was down in Cabo. They built a brand new convention center that they haven't figured out what else to use it for yet. But anyway, all the heads of state were there. I was there in June when it was going on, and it was security was just amazing. But the beautiful thing is so much infrastructure got added. Lights on the highway at night. Well, it's a nice addition. But then this four-lane road up to Todos Santos.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, you can just set it on cruise control and get to Todos Santos. But don't do that. Stop along the way. You'll find little farms growing some crops. You'll find goat farms. And you can do all the ATV stuff, too, if you want. There's plenty of that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
As you get near Todos Santos from the Cabo side, beautiful greenery of lettuce and beans and all kinds of things that they're growing. It's just absolutely beautiful. And then you arrive in Todos Santos that got pretty well wiped out by the hurricane in 2014.
Oh, interesting.
But the good news, bad news, the bad news is that the streets and a lot of buildings really got ruined completely. But beautiful new streets now. It's just so nice. It really looks like an old, charming place now.
Hmm.
It's a fun place to go. There are a few parks, a lot of little street vendors. When I take people there, we go to some street stands and eat tacos. And it's just fantastic. Of course, you do have Hotel California.
Sure.
You know, not the original, but still just as famous as they blur out the Eagles when you go in and you have nachos and a margarita or something. But it's a fun place.
Well, and you recommended tacos. Any particular tacos someone should try while they're in Baja?
No, I just like street tacos.
Okay. See, some would say the fish tacos because, you know, they sort of feel like that's a real Baja thing. I'm not a big fish fan, but I know a lot of people love the fish tacos.
We love fish tacos. We got spoiled, first of all, when we lived in San Diego with Rubio's and their fish tacos.
All right, fair enough.
Then we found a good place up here in Boise, and we haven't found a great place in Cabo for fish tacos. But
okay.
We like the street vendors more. If you're back in Cabo, right in front of Cabo Wabo, it's a place called Taco Loco, meaning crazy taco. Mm-hmm. And then you get four tacos and a beer for $7. I mean, it's good. I like that. But anyway, up in Todos Santos, there's little street vendors, and we just pick one and eat and just always love it. There's a great church up there near some of the art galleries. Sometimes there's a gentleman in a little park across the street, and he'll be happy, you know, for a few dollars to tell you all about it and give you some of the history. And so that's always fun to do. I like to use some of the local people when I'm down there. Helps provide them with an income, and you'll learn some things that are a little bit more authentic.
Sure. Any other places we want to cover? Otherwise, we'll start to head towards our wrap-up questions here.
I mean, you could go farther in Baja. You can go up to Loreto or Mulegé.
Mm-hmm.
I've not spent much time up there, but as you said, the area along that eastern side of Baja is a more interesting area because of the coastline and the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge industry down there. They all have airports you can fly into to make it easy. Even out of Cabo, the international airport's outside of San Jose del Cabo, but there's actually an airport in Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
I have flown out of there to go to a couple different little places. But if you just have one chance, because not everybody wants to spend every year down in Cabo, but if you're just once going to go down to Baja California, sir, go down to the La Paz, Cabo, Todos Santos Triangle. You will enjoy it. You might not fall in love with it as much as we have, but you will really enjoy the people, the food, the weather. Just fantastic place.
Excellent. One thing that's going to surprise people who've been to Mexico but haven't been to Baja.
The friendliness of people, that they're not trying to take advantage of you at all. It's just a great place. I find, and I've mentioned it in a book that I wrote about Mexico and about Cabo, about the work ethic down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably in all of Mexico, but I haven't spent as much time in other parts of mainland as I have in Cabo. And I mean, these people work 6 hours a day. Last October, we were down there, and these people were working till 10:30 at night. And I mean, it was noisy, but mm-hmm. these people work and they want to get stuff done.
You said 6 hours a day. Did you mean to say 16 hours a day?
No, I meant to say 6 days a week. Actually.
6 days a week. Okay. I was going to say 6 hours a day. That sounds pretty easy.
That sounds like a banker here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'd love to do that. Okay. I figured we hadn't said that right.
Yeah. We have 6 days a week, at least 8 to 10 hours a day. They're hard workers.
Prettiest spot in Baja, sir.
Oh, wow. This is a lot of individuality
sure.
comes in. Play here.
In your opinion?
In my opinion, I would go into San Jose del Cabo.
Okay.
And sit in the main square. It's called Plaza Mijares.
Mm-hmm.
And just either Thursday night art walk when there's so much other activity going on, but at other times, and just seeing the children playing in there, you'll find school groups doing rehearsals there. It's not the picturesque, it's not the Eiffel Tower moment or anything like that, but it shows you what life is really like there and that people are just enjoying life.
Not to diminish that, I think that's a great choice. I would probably also throw in one of those remote islands. You've climbed to the top, you're tired and sweaty, but a beautiful view over a bay, you know, just deep blue waters, something like that, or 2,000 dolphins and a sunset's not bad either.
That's not so bad. I mean, one thing that we never get tired of when we're down there and we're staying on the Pacific side is the 50 sunrise photos we take every time. They don't look any different, but they are an amazing view. The colors, the oranges, you know, setting down against the water. But what you just said about going on to any one of those little islands off La Paz, a little farther north, Isla San Jose that you mentioned, but there's some right off of La Paz.
Mm-hmm,
that,
sure.
Just great places.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Baja California, sir.
I laugh, but I cringe also when I see what crazy Americans do for a drink. Go into Giggling Marlin and people will do the stupidest things to be able to get a free round of beer for their table. you know, upside down shots of tequila, stuff that you go, oh boy. Now, yeah, maybe I would have done that, you know, ages ago, but, you know, now a little bit older, hopefully a little wiser. I chuckle. It's like, seriously, is this something that you want the world to see on social media? Because, you know, someone's got their cell phone out. And so that does it for me, is just seeing those things and to say, oh boy.
And Stuart finished this thought. You know you're in Baja Sur. You know you're in Cabo, maybe. When what?
When any place you go, you can sit down, order a cold drink, look at the water, and just say, you know, this is a pretty good life down here.
Well, we should say, you mentioned look at the water. As you're driving up that highway up there towards Todos Santos, especially, we drove up the Pacific side as we went up to La Paz. And as you're driving there, you got to keep an eye on the water, because if you're there and kind of the time of sea to year we were in February, for instance, you're going to see whale spouts. I mean, just even on the highway, keep an eye on the water. There might be something interesting going on there. Yeah.
There's usually something going on out there.
And if you had to summarize Baja Sur in three words, what three words would you use?
Accessible.
Yes.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And delightful.
Excellent. And our guest again has been Stuart Gustafson. Stuart, where can people read more about your travels?
Well, my website, stuartgustafson.com. You can find blog entries that I do there. You can also find some of my books that I write about travel. I like writing travel-based mystery novels.
I was going to say, you mentioned books, but tell us about one book you've written based in Baja.
It's called Missing in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so you can go to my website, or you can just go to missinginmexico.com. It will show you the book. The book Missing in Mexico is about a young girl, 19 years old, who doesn't come back from Cabo after a family vacation. And the private investigator trying to find her can't until he gets a mysterious letter from somebody who says, I will help you find her.
Well, now don't give things away here.
No, you can't give it all away. But there is a happy ending.
Okay.
So I'll put it that way. There is a happy ending. It really is set down there. People have told me after they've read the book, they felt like they could go down there and navigate, just because of the places that are real that I've mentioned, to make it a little bit more fun, more realistic.
Excellent. Well, Stuart, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Cabo and for Baja California Sur.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a delightful pleasure, and I look forward to actually going to some of those little islands off La Paz.
Oh, you'll love them.
We'll have to do something a little bit different this next time.
My apologies for 2 weeks away from a new show coming out. Part of the problem was that I was traveling. Basically, I was on the road between Germany, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, North Carolina, Virginia, and Maryland for about 25 out of 27 days in a row. And so that was part of the problem. And then we also tried to change up something in terms of how we were editing the show that, let's just say, it didn't work out. But I'm home for a while, so we shouldn't have those problems this summer. I heard from Kelsey about a show we did some time ago on Fort Worth, and it said this: I just started listening to your podcast a couple of weeks ago when I was looking for information about a few cities in Europe we are planning to visit this fall, but I jumped into episodes about new places I'd like to go. I downloaded some episodes about some of the favorite places I visited to get a feel for the podcast. I'm enjoying it so far. I listened to your episode from 2013 about Fort Worth, Texas. I've been to the Dallas-Fort Worth area a few times in the last couple of years, visiting friends. Overall, I thought the episode did a great job of describing Fort Worth. However, it didn't include my favorite place in all of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Fort Worth Water Gardens. It's one of the most unusual, interesting, and strangely beautiful public spaces I've seen in any of my travels. It's both modern and retro, rigid and fluid, natural and concrete, tranquil and energetic. It's a great place to relax for an hour or so on a busy day of sightseeing, maybe eat a picnic lunch, and you can't beat the price of free. It was my favorite place on my first trip to Dallas-Fort Worth, and a place I always make a time for a quick stop when I go back. It's hard to really explain what makes this place so cool, but it has become the go-to place for my local friends to take their
out-of-town visitors. If you do another episode on the area in the next couple of years, I definitely include the Fort Worth Water Gardens. Well, Kelsey, I wanted to include your comment because it's not likely we're going to do another show anytime soon on Dallas-Fort Worth. And so, well, possibly on Dallas. I guess we've done one on Fort Worth. So I think I'll include this in the comments of that episode so other people can know to check out the Fort Worth Water Gardens. Thanks so much. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe.